Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
And get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? Get a slap?
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
Hello there, you're welcome along to Tuesday evening's Off the Ball. Champions League back this evening, we go again. Manchester United in Paris with a decidedly vulnerable starting 11. Philippe Auclair is with us this hour. In the next hour, Sonia O'Sullivan is on the show for a chat. Also, GAA going ahead. Limerick's Keane Lynch has a Munster quarterfinal on Sunday. We will chat to the former hurler of the year. And the football show includes Rhianna Jarrett on Ireland-Ukraine. 90 minutes, which will decide much. And John Bruin will join us as well on the show. 53106 is the text number. We're at Off the Ball on Twitter. Do get in touch. Richie McCormick, good evening.
How are you, Joe? You well?
I'm all good. Adrian Barry back with us. The fans get what they want.
Who are they, is the question. Evening, Joe, Richie.
So what's going on then? What's catching your eye, Adrian? You can set the agenda for the nation here.
I think the GAA conversation is the thing that's most occupying. I presume Talk to Joe probably has done several segments on it over the last couple of days. I haven't been in the privileged position to tune in, but I think it's the thing that's exercising most people, isn't it? Like whether the... You know, there's been special dispensation made. He didn't quite reference it, I don't think, in his speech last night. But when you find the GAA Championship being specifically referenced in most of the commentary after it and follow-up conversation, it's obviously of interest to people whether it should go ahead or not, I think.
And where are you on that?
I don't know. Like, there are people far more qualified than me, I think, is my main thought on it, Joe, to say whether it should or shouldn't go ahead. Like, I think that if it's possible to... Now that you've asked me, and I'm, as I'll tell you every time I come on, Joe, I'm not in the medical profession, so I'm probably not as well equipped as many others to make a call on it. But I think that from GA perspective, it's probably going to be a bit of sucking and see, isn't it? Like, give it a go.
No other option, really.
Yeah.
Bar that kind of week. Suck it and see. See how it goes. See how they get on. See if there's any clusters appearing in teams. See if anybody kind of falls victim in a team sense to COVID. Like, because they're kind of groping in the dark a little bit. Like we mentioned yesterday, Bevan Duffy mentioned in his comments after the game with Cork, the Louth captain. Like, if they're not being tested, then, you know, if you're not being tested, you don't know if you have the virus. And if you don't have the virus, you're still okay to play. But you don't know what the repercussions of that might be. So I think every week is going to be a step-on-step learning curve. I think once we get the league games done and dusted this next weekend, things should be a little bit easier to comprehend. Like I pointed it out at the weekend, there was between minor, under 20 and senior on Saturday, there were 20 different inter-county matches on, and that was just involving male sides, which is... It seemed like an arseways way to go about it. If you're going to ease yourself back into a pretty restrictive world as regards COVID, to have 20 matches in mostly different venues, it has to be said as well, it just seemed a bit overkill, and maybe they were better off easing themselves into things rather than getting those big, massive lumps of league games done first.
Yeah, it's a very complicated picture. I mean, it was a rough enough build-up to this week with Leo Varadkar last Thursday, so emphatically putting out the message that GAA Championships couldn't and wouldn't happen at level five. And then Bevan Duffy talking about his concerns. You know, that's an aspect here, the stresses that are on the players. We're talking about the mental health of the nation and the extent to which Championships going ahead will give the nation a lift. How many Bevan Duffys out there are there who are very concerned, who are maybe living with their elderly parents, but also feel a duty to continue and play? You know, the stresses on them have to be considered as well. But then NPHET have given the all clear for level five. Mary Horgan from Cork University Hospital was on OTBAM this morning. She's also part of the advisory group to the GAA, and she made very confident arguments that this thing could go ahead and was safe. So you're juggling a huge number of things, and also there is, Adrian, the reality that this is something of a test case. We are in the midst now of a second wave. There are professional bubbles when it comes to sport operating. This is not a professional bubble as such. These are players operating in the community. So there is going to be a real degree of having to wait and see about this. And that understandably makes people very uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I think that's a totally reasonable point. And it's where GAA differs. It's been brought under the elite sports banner, obviously, but it's where it differs significantly from rugby or from professional football, in that they are players who mix in the community. And I know, like, that obviously a lot of stocks have been put in the GPA survey, which is fair enough, but like it's kind of a 50-50 split of players who were all in, and then another 50% of their 75% respondent rate who were either not up for it or not sure about it. And I know that the GAA obviously have a lot of structures in place around testing and stuff that maybe haven't been fully explored yet, but it's created a lot of conversation, and I think that's understandable. I don't believe that, as some would have you believe, that it's an anti-GAA thing to say that they're not sure this thing should go ahead. I think it's an entirely reasonable point of view to hold. I don't consider it to be anti-GAA. I consider it to be the position that a lot of people are in at the minute, I probably include myself in this, which is a slightly conservative viewpoint, in that, you know, we're 7 months into this thing. Nobody's sure when it ends. We absolutely know it's new ground for everybody. I think in that environment where people have been asked to give up things, it's not the part of the rationale, obviously, around the GAA is that it gives such great entertainment, releases a pressure valve, is a great distraction for the masses. And that's totally understandable. That's what we all want and need, I suppose, at the minute. But at the same time, if it's going to come at the expense of life, then I think there's really only one call.
Yeah, I agree. Like, on balance, I'm probably against it going ahead, to be honest. But it doesn't mean I'll be banging the table here for the next 6, 7, 8 weeks, or it doesn't mean we won't cover it. But on balance, I think it's a big risk, and I'm not sure the rewards. I mean, maybe they're financial as much as anything, and the GAA really want this to go ahead. Maybe there is a degree of lifting the spirits of the nation, but, you know, if this thing isn't suppressed very successfully, I think the old people that we're talking about whose spirits will be lifted, Monday to Friday is still going to be very tough, you know?
Yeah,
so, I mean, exactly. we hear lots of pundits saying with absolute certainty that the people want this and the people need this. And, for instance, a survey in Clare Byrne popped up of 1,000 people, 67% said, no, it shouldn't go ahead. You know, Colm O'Rourke was on at the time, and he said he was very surprised by that. I wasn't that surprised by it. I think everybody is more on the conservative side of this than not, in the main. And, you know, some of the arguments come back about, well, the anti-GAA thing I just don't buy, so I'm sort of against it. But, I mean, I couldn't be more pro-GAA. I grew up playing GAA. I love GAA. I missed it during the summer. It's not about anti-GAA. It's about, in the context of Level 5, what are we okay in here and what are we not? And, you know, for me, the priority is businesses which have had to close down, opening ASAP. And so, you know, if we can open them a week earlier, then we should be doing everything in our power to open them a week later. So it's in that context we're talking as well about GAA going ahead.
Colm, I've had a good listen to what he's had to say over the last few days in a read, and some of the stuff I really can't get behind at all, I have to say. And like you say, there are people who speak with certainty about this. Nobody can speak with certainty about it. So that is definitely a big part of the difficulty. And I would say as well, in terms of the general distraction of it, we're probably going to talk about the Champions League in a few minutes. Like, it is such a relief. There's no getting away from it. When you've been able to talk about Champions League, or you've been able to talk about the GAA Championships or the league, whatever it is, the Nations League, like, it is a relief to be able to watch that stuff and talk about it with your mates and whatever else it is. But at the same time, I don't know if it's worth the risk. And I would say, like, in terms of the general distraction of it, GAA being such an intrinsic thing in Irish society, like, for the vast majority of counties, their interest is going to be over, given the format, unique format now of this year's championship. The vast majority of counties' interest is going to be done after 3 weeks. So it again narrows the field at that stage. And I know that it's not, if you're a GAA fan, you don't fully check out of it, obviously. you'll still follow it as it gets deep into the later rounds. But, I mean, it's a factor worth bearing in mind as well.
Let's kick on then. So Champions League football back this evening. Our news round is with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette made of what matters. And Richie, it is a vulnerable looking Manchester United in Paris this evening.
Yeah, just over 8 weeks since last season's final, the Champions League group stage getting underway this evening. Manchester United away from home, facing last season's beaten finalist Paris Saint-Germain. The teams are in for this one. Keylor Navas starts in goal for PSG. A back four for them of Alessandro Florenzi, Abdou Diallo, Presnel Kimpembe and Levan Kurzawa. In midfield, it's Idrissa Gueye, Danilo, Ander Herrera. And then up front, the trio of Neymar, Angel Di Maria and Kylian Mbappe. For United, David De Gea starts in goal. It's then a back four, it seems, of Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Victor Lindelof, Axel Tuanzebe and Luke Shaw. Fred and Scott McTominay are in midfield with Bruno Fernandes, Anthony Martial and Alex Telles in front of them. Marcus Rashford is up front. Elsewhere in Group H, RB Leipzig are at home to Istanbul Başakşehir, and both of those games kick off at 8. In Group E, Chelsea welcoming last season's Europa League winner Sevilla to Stamford Bridge. Edouard Mendy is fit to start in goal for Chelsea tonight. He starts behind a back four of Reece James, Thiago Silva, Kurt Zouma and Ben Chilwell. In midfield, it's N'Golo Kante and Jorginho, and in front of them, the trio of Christian Pulisic, Kai Havertz and Mason Mount, with Timo Werner leading the line. Rennes take on the Russians of Krasnodar in the group's other game there. There was a 5:55 start to the first of a couple of games tonight. It's currently Dinamo Kiev 0, Juventus 1 in the Ukrainian capital. Juventus taking the lead inside the second half from Alvaro Morata, the former Chelsea man, funnily enough getting on the score sheet there. Elsewhere in that group, Barcelona entertain Ferencvaros, still scoreless between Zenit St. Petersburg and Club Brugge. The other game in that group sees Lazio host Borussia Dortmund, and here at home in the first division, Galway United out home to Drogheda United. Drogheda looking to close the gap on the first division leaders Bray to just a couple of points.
We'll talk to Philippe Auclair very shortly. PSG, Manchester United and Leipzig. This is a really tricky group for United with the semi-finalists and finalists from last year. And I would think, Adrian, in Paris, that Di Maria, Mbappe and Neymar this evening are looking at a United back five of Telles, Luke Shaw, Lindelof, Zouanzebe and Wan-Bissaka and thinking, we might do something here tonight.
Yeah, they're licking their chops, aren't they? It's sort of a strange position for United. Maybe it's not that strange anymore, but where they're going into it and you're wondering, are they actually going to get out of this group? Like, I would like to have a look at the odds, but Leipzig can't be far off, I would think, being amongst the favourites to get out of it alongside PSG.
Yeah.
Maybe they're slightly lesser product, obviously, without Werner. But yeah, it'll be fascinating to see. I mean, it's great for the neutrals amongst the jaws. You'll appreciate watching that game tonight to see exactly what comes of it. In some ways, it's not the benchmark game for United. Maybe the Leipzig game is, but certainly you look across that defence for United this evening. And it's not even as if there are players in there that are maybe untested that you would think, well, tonight is the night that they come of age. There are some of them in there who just clearly aren't up to it.
Yeah, some have already failed the test and they're still in there. It feels like a long time ago since 2019 when it was Ole at the wheel and they won 3-1 and there was the photo of Alex Ferguson and Cantona and Solskjaer in the dressing room and Gary Neville did the interview where he said, where do you want your speech and how long do you want your contract to be? So here we are. He keeps kind of, whenever something happens which puts him back under pressure, he kind of plucks it out of the fire a touch, Solskjaer. That's been the trend of late. Even, you know, the Spurs 6-1 debacle before the international break, it turns out to be a really good 4-1 win in the end against Newcastle. So it's hard to know how they're going to go tonight, but he has had that knack, Solskjaer, thus far in the career. Richie, where are we going next?
To a proposed European Premier League, Joe. Liverpool and Manchester United reportedly in talks to be part of a new FIFA-backed tournament in what, as I say, could become known as the European Premier League. It's understood that more than a dozen clubs from five of Europe's top divisions are in negotiations about becoming founder members. It's suggested that teams would still be involved in their domestic leagues. An 18 to 20 team league is being discussed, which would culminate in a playoff format. The winners, it seems, would pocket €1 billion as compared to the 111 million that Liverpool won for winning the Champions League in 2019. But former Manchester United captain Gary Neville ain't in favour.
There is enough wealth in the game to be able to look after all the key stakeholders. And why the top clubs or anybody in this country thinks it's right that we shouldn't distribute the wealth across the game in a way in which maintains the intent of every competition is just I don't get it. You cannot have a $6 million debt package conversation with JP Morgan whilst not giving the funding to non-league, grassroots, EFL clubs and making sure that fans can afford to watch football. It is just, it is obscene. And football is going to eat itself soon, because the fans will turn away. It's getting to the point whereby the people who love the game, the people who would cry to be in stadiums for the last 6 months because we've missed them so much, are starting to dislike large elements of what they're actually supporting. And that cannot be allowed to happen.
I think that ship has sailed in many ways, Adrian.
Well, it feels like Arsene Wenger sort of trying to row against the tide, isn't it? It's like that kind of a voice in football at the minute. Not sure what it seems like, such a quaint idea. Like, I love where he's coming from. I love everything that he's talking about there in terms of trying to reconnect the game with fans. But like you say, it seems quaint almost, doesn't it?
Mm. Does at this stage. Have you? Well, actually, we're not on the receiving end of having to fork out the £15 sterling to watch a game. But even that, I just couldn't believe that they went down that route.
West Brom, oh, well, there's some. Nice. Scored a straw for 15 quid, 16.795 here. Yeah. It's just, it defies all logic. Like
it's immoral almost.
I wonder what the numbers for a game like that would be. Like, because it could easily justify it, do you know what I mean? Like, that's the unfortunate reality. And I, because there was a big swathe of people against it, wasn't there, over the, when it became obvious this was something that was happening, to the point where I thought maybe they'll actually reverse it here, but.
I'd say the numbers are pretty decent. Like, if it's the only way a West Brom fan can see the game and it's a season ticket holder, I think the rationalisation might kick in. Well, look, I want to watch the team. I might spend 15 quid if I was going to a stadium anyway. So what else am I going to do?
The numbers there then would be not negligible, but certainly not enough to kind of warrant these kind of pay-per-view matches. Because if you're talking about a season ticket holder at West Ham, for instance, there, they would have, I don't know, I'm guessing around 30,000 maybe tops in terms of season ticket holders, and that'd be being very, very generous. The numbers I'm not quite aware of, but like, that'd be your base level of what you're trying to get on board. And there's no guarantee that they'll all want to watch it, because the people who, like, I've never seen the correlation between people who, if a game's not available, then suddenly it's a massive bounce in terms of the viewership figures if people aren't allowed to attend it. I don't think that's necessarily been there, and the last 7 months kind of, I guess, would bear that out. So I don't think they're going to get massive numbers for these games, and certainly not enough to justify, well, I guess they'd probably say the lower numbers probably justify the higher fee, but again, it closes more of the sport off to more of the people, and that's never a good thing.
Oh, it's very short-sighted. But if you get 30,000 people paying 15 quid for a game, that's 450 grand. If you do that for even just 10 games of the season, it's a handy 5 million quid. You know, the clubs,
I'd be surprised if they did, though.
Well, I think clubs aren't going to turn down an easy 5 million.
More of a West Brom versus Burnley behind the paywall is exactly what football needs, of course.
No. Look, it's madness. It's madness. It will be interesting to see what they're making out of it. I wonder will we ever get that info. So Six Nations is back this Saturday, Rich.
Yeah, and Jonathan Sexton insists he's fully fit for the resumption of Ireland's campaign. The Ed Half limped out of Leinster's opening Pro 14 game of the season against Benetton with what was called a minor hamstring problem at the time. But Sexton says the work he's done over the past week in the Ireland camp stands him in good stead for the visit of Italy. And the captain was asked today if there's any extra pressure on the side in representing a country in lockdown.
Obviously, you feel a bigger responsibility that, you know, with the restrictions that have come in now and the country's gone back to level 5, that there's obviously a sense that, you know, the whole country will be watching us. Most of the time, we're very lucky that they are, you know, we're always being looked at. But I think it's, I suppose, an even bigger responsibility. But, you know, I suppose Italy are going to be in the same boat as us as well. So both teams will be very motivated. But any time you play for Ireland, it's a big responsibility. But yeah, you're right. There's a little bit of extra onus on us this week. You know, obviously, We need to win the game first and foremost. That's the most important. Obviously, it'll come down to points difference and bonus points and stuff. So that will come later in the game. But we need to try and win the game first and foremost. And, you know, putting on a show isn't something we spoke about, but putting in a good performance is something that we're very conscious of and want to do.
Yeah, just one defeat in 20 Six Nations games against Italy. Obviously, it would be a disaster if it became two this Saturday. And we've a prize, actually, this Saturday, Six Nations returning. We're teaming up with Vodafone, our rugby sponsors. So you and four of your friends or family members can win the chance to watch the game on Zoom in the company of Off the Ball's Shane Hannan and a former Ireland player. we'll be announcing later in the week. And in effect, you can ask them any question you want before, during and after the game. That's the end of week prize. We'll also be giving away a nightly prize, a Google Home Hub, a signed team poster and an Irish jersey. To be in with a chance of winning, just tell us which Irish-born player played for Italy until his retirement from international rugby in 2019. So which Irish-born player played for Italy until his retirement from international rugby in 2019? Your name and answer to 53106 for 30 cents, and we'll get in touch with you after the show. Rich?
Yeah, goal for Club Brugge away to Zenit St. Petersburg. Zenit nil, Brugge won in that game. They're down, meanwhile, could be promoted to Division 2 of the Allianz Football League this weekend without having to kick a ball. Longford are reportedly considering giving a walkover to Cork in their scheduled Division 3 match. Longford manager Patrick Davis described the game yesterday as a dead rubber. Amid the ongoing threat posed by COVID-19, Davis believes it's not necessary to make the 500-kilometre round trip to face the side already crowned Division 3 champions. Effectively would protect Down's head-to-head record against Derry and see them, and not the Oakleaf County, promoted to Division 2.
Oh, sorry, I thought we were hearing from Tommy Welsh there. Okay. So he was an OTB this morning. Where are we going next?
To the Vuelta. It got underway today in the Basque Country. Dan Martin narrowly missed out on stage victory in the opening stage of the Vuelta. The Team Israel Startup Nation rider placed third behind Richard Carapaz and the eventual stage winner Primoz Roglic. Liverpool will be without both Joel Matip and Thiago for tomorrow night's Champions League game away to Ajax. Both players picked up knocks in Saturday's Merseyside derby. It seems that they're going to have a centre-back partnership of Fabinho and Joe Gomez for that game. Jurgen Klopp saying last night that they'll be like a beautiful wife waiting for their husband to get out of prison when Virgil van Dijk returns. While the world 400 metre world champion Salwa Eid Nasser has avoided a ban from athletics, the Bahraini athlete was previously suspended in June after being charged with missing 4 anti-doping tests. However, one of those whereabouts failures was struck off as the testers had actually gone to the wrong address, and the remaining 3 missed tests weren't in a 12-month span, so Eid Nasser escapes censure. And the 2021 Formula 1 campaign is set to get underway with the traditional season opening Australian Grand Prix in Melbourne in March. Organisers are close to confirming the entire schedule, with 22 races currently planned for next year. This year's Australian Grand Prix was cancelled on the weekend of the race when a member of the McLaren team tested positive for COVID-19. Then organisers were left scrambling to put together a patchwork season. And the former France goalkeeper Bruno Martini has died at the age of just 58. He suffered a heart attack 8 days ago and passed away this morning. Martini was Michel Platini's first choice goalkeeper at Euro 92, and he played more than 300 games for Auxerre's former manager Giroud, now 82 years of age, said that Martini was one of his main friends coming away from Auxerre in the 600 plus players that he coached at the club.
Okay. Richie, thanks very much for that this evening. Adrian Barry, cheers, we'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the football this evening.
Cheers, lads.
And to that end, we'll be talking to Philippe Auclair next.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.